Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't you guys do a turn the page segment
Wednesday. On Wednesday?
It's time to turn the page.
Turn the page Wednesday.
I don't know when I turn the page.
What we feel like is a great opportunity to turn the page.
We just haven't been able to turn the page.
That's what you have to do. You got to turn the page.
I think now we all can move on.
Looking ahead to this week's opponent.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Because we need to know when to turn the page. There I go.
Time on a Wednesday afternoon on Spiegel and Holmes for us to turn the page and look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. A horrific start to the season. Doug Peterson blew the Dolphins game as a coach. Trevor Lawrence blew the Browns game as a player with some help from Peterson's offensive scheme. Game three, then, Lawrence Holmes, was the 47-10 loss to the Bills on Monday Night Football. One of the worst losses in the history of the franchise.
It was a sad Monday night experience. I'm a Trevor Lawrence fan, and I was in shock at how bad he was in that game.
He played a little bit better against the Texans, and they almost beat the Texans, except for a C.J. Stroud touchdown with 18 seconds left. But still, at 0-4, a disaster. Doug Peterson was pointing the finger at Trevor and the players, almost lost the locker room. Then they beat the Colts. Trevor Lawrence was truly great last week. In rhythm, accurate, tight windows, good deep balls. 82.4% of his passes complete for 371, two touchdowns, and one pick. He did not seem to be broken anymore, and Trevor Lawrence talked about what happened, what has gone well, and how the team responded.
I can only speak for myself. I mean, maybe some other guys use that. I didn't feel like I necessarily did. Kind of been just hunkering down and not looking or listening to anything, honestly. And I'm going to continue to do that even when you have a good game. I mean, that stuff doesn't matter. You know, you can't listen to the good or the bad. So I do think stuff that does get through, and I'm sure there's a lot of questions, like what's going on with the Jags, what's this, what's that, after 4 weeks, and good, you know, we'll use that as a chip on our shoulder and have that us against the world mentality and bring us closer together, and I think that's what good teams do. So, but I also think you don't want to let that stuff creep in, because it's really about the guys in that building and the work we put in, and I'm just proud of the group. But it's just one game, you know, we can't flip out over one game, but we are going to celebrate it because we've been working hard, and it's big for us, and we're going to use it to propel us.
And then CBS said early in the game that you and Gabe kind of got into it, and you maybe even threw a tablet. Was there an exchange over there on the sideline?
Sat it down firmly. No.
Set it down roughly?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
He sat the tablet down firmly. That's all. Look, the Colts secondary is bad. It's cover three defense. It's easily gettable. The Bears got it, but still, Trevor was really good. Brian Thomas Jr., their rookie wideout, has been a good deep threat. Fastest ball carrier in the NFL on that 85-yard touchdown. He went over 22 miles per hour.
My favorite receiver in this draft, by the way.
Not mine. You know why? Because he's built for Guagi, but doesn't have Guagi go up and get it skills.
You guys heard of Guagi? Uh-huh. Go up and get it, guy.
And he, in fact, dropped two tight window catches in that Colts game.
I'm concerned about this game.
Well, I understand. Tank Bigsby's been great. Angry runs aplenty, a power back, while Travis Etienne is a tool in space with the passing game. Evan Ingram might be back this week. That offense, 15th in yardage, 20th in passing yards, 8th in rushing yards, 30th in points is the defense, allowing 28 points per game. Defense has been brutal, 31st in total yards, 32nd, dead last in passing yards. But against the Colts, Joe Flacco put up some numbers, but Trayvon Walker had the best game of his career. That defensive end, 7 pressures, 3 sacks, Almost had 5 sacks, showed the bull rush, speed to power, stunted inside too, had a great fourth quarter. Secondary, very gettable. Their number one corner, Tyson Campbell, still hurt. Ronald Darby has been struggling as their number one. The safety, Tayshawn Gibson, old friend alert, is also hurt, not back yet. Linebackers have played okay, but the whole thing's been kind of a mess on defense. But there are your Jags at 1-4, not 0-5. But that's a legit offense the Bears are going to have to deal with.
All right, so the pages turn to the next game, but let's also take a look at the NFC North.
Very satisfying. To the North we go.
Let's take our focus to the North. The reigning NFC North champion Detroit Lions are back to work after an early bye week, and even Aiden Hutchinson is surprised at how good the NFC North has been so far.
The strength of the division right now, every NFC North team is above 500.
I didn't know that. What are the Bears? I don't even.
3-2.
3-2. Yeah, they just beat. Who did they just beat?
Bears. And okay. Every team has a +20 point differential.
Yeah. No, it's a. I mean, it's a strong division, man. It's we gotta run for our money this year. So we're gonna do everything we can to get that repeat.
6.5 sacks and 1 forced fumble for Aiden Hutchinson through 4 games played. The first place Vikings hit their bye at 5-0 following their victory in London over Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell joined the Pat McAfee show yesterday and discussed the impact that Brian Flores has made on their defense and how a former Bear played a key role in one of the biggest plays in Sunday's game.
I think he's been a phenomenal, phenomenal addition to our team. I think he's a fantastic play caller. A lot of times defensive systems get talked about a lot, but guys got to be ready to dial it up and really understand how to adjust and adapt within games, especially with a system like ours playing against some of the quarterbacks we've played against early on in the year. You got to be ready to throw your off-speed pitches. You got to be ready to change up looks. You got to empower your players to make adjustments.
Rodgers stomps his right foot. Marchetta signal. Nobody jumps. And now pressure coming at the snap. Thrown to the right side. Intercepted. Touchdown, Minnesota. Andrew Van Ginkle.
Yeah, we actually, Brett Rippon did an unbelievable job in practice giving a look of kind of what it would feel like, against Aaron Rodgers and the challenge that it would be by just, emulating the snap count, the cadences, what it would be like, what would the answers be for some of the pressures. Actually, in practice, the ball was not thrown. We kind of ran the similar pressure versus that exact same look. And I remember Flo screaming out, hey, you got to throw it, because if he throws it in the game, we got to be ready to catch it. And Gink was ready to catch it again. He's scoring a lot of touchdowns, man. I can get used to seeing Gink running down the sideline scoring touchdowns. It's been phenomenal.
Vikings are on a bye. Their next opponent, the Detroit Lions, in week 7. Green Bay got themselves to a hard-fought 24-19 victory in L.A. against the Rams on Sunday. This was in spite of Jordan Love throwing probably the most ridiculous interception that we have seen so far this year. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur was asked about Jordan Love, who has thrown 4 picks since returning from injury, and whether he's being a little reckless with the football.
All quarterbacks kind of go through this, and we just got to continue to encourage to take what's there. He's always wanted to push the ball down the field, which I respect. One thing that we always talk about is sometimes you got to earn the right to throw it down the field. We've had a pretty explosive offense, and ultimately, usually going in every game, defenses are going to try to mitigate your ability to create those explosive plays, because we know explosive plays lead to points. I think every drive that we had an explosive play on, we scored, and vice versa. When we didn't score. So, but that's football. And the one to Jay Reed, I don't recommend that decision, but he threw a hell of a ball and Jaden made a heck of a catch. So it's one of those things that you're like, no, 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 yes. But I just think over time, you got to be careful with those.
Packers will host Arizona. The Lions will take on the Cowboys. That is your look at the North. And who's the king of the North? He's king of the North.
As you're talking about Jordan Love and an interception you can't throw, I'm thinking about the game-losing interception to Dre Greenlaw in the playoffs last year for the Niners.
Got a lot of Favre in him.
Yeah, he does. He does. And Favre kind of conquered that beast all the way up until the very end when he did it again as a Viking.
Yep. And then Corey Wooten got him.
Yeah, he did. But I remember that one, again, as a Viking. Because Paul Allen.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
He was justified in feeling that way about it.
Oh, God.
Because the whole thing was really ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
So we have turned the page and we have looked at the NFC North.
Look at us.
Look at us.
The next
thing that we need to look at is how can we look at games? There was something that happened on yesterday's show that we need to revisit, and something that's brewing among Chicago sports fans that we have to discuss. That's next here on The Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.